kind of going in a new direction here today. We did 3 weeks on doing life together. And we handed out applications and guidelines during the School for Life for small group leaders, and all the applications were taken. So it's a good start. We'll see what the Lord, how He directs us. And, you know, we're meeting as a group, but then meeting from house to house. And I'm excited about the possibility. So we'll just keep you posted on things and let you join these groups as we get them started here. How many here like making decisions? How many know there's a lot of choices in life? You know, today if you go out to the restaurant, I mean, you ever been there and you're like having, you know, you look through the menu and looking at three or four things that you might want to want, and sometimes you regret your choice. Not only of, you know, what we order, but, you know, the decisions that we make in life. Let's look over in Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I've got a lot of scriptures today, so you may want to just drop these down or get the CD or listen to the podcast and take some notes then. Laying the foundation for this series we're starting today. But Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. So he's saying here to choose life, and not only does it impact you, but it impacts your family and impacts those that you're close to. But I think it's interesting here that it puts life and blessing in a category here, and it puts death and cursing in a category. Do you catch that? So not only is he saying to choose life, but he's saying to choose the blessing. And that's important. We need to know that. We can choose blessing or we can choose cursing. And blessing is really, in its essence, is really God and His goodness and who He is and His abilities and His power and His ability to do the supernatural. That's you know, His life. That's the blessing. And the cursing is, and you know, you could look at it a lot of different ways, certain things it is, but really what the curse is, it's life without God. So it says to choose life, and it says to choose God, to choose His way, to choose His word, but it means to choose His blessing. And God desires, and you may know this, many of us know this that have been here, but God desires you blessed in every area of your life. That's His will. That's His desire. It's so clear in the Scriptures. That's what He intends for you. He doesn't intend for you to be cursed in any area. And so let's talk about today then how we can walk in those blessings. A little bit of what that means and how we can do that. Let's look over at Exodus 13. You can turn there and follow along on the screen. Exodus 13, verse 2 says this, consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, it is mine. It says 16 times in the Bible that the firstborn belongs to God. Let's just keep on reading down in Exodus 13, verse 12. It says, that you set apart to the Lord all that open the womb, that is, every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the males shall be the Lord's, but every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb, and if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. The firstborn for the children of Israel, the firstborn is either sacrificed or redeemed. And so, if the animal, talking about animals, if it's considered clean, then it's sacrificed. If it is unclean, then something else is sacrificed in its place, and that's a spotless lamb. Now, let me ask you, Does this sound familiar? John 1:29 says, "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.'" So if the firstborn is clean, then it's sacrificed. If it's unclean, a lamb, a clean, spotless lamb, is sacrificed. Well, how many know that we were born unclean? How many know we were born with a nature of sin? And aren't you glad that there was a clean, spotless, sinless lamb that was sacrificed for us so that we could be redeemed? That's good news today. Jesus was sacrificed to redeem us. And to redeem means just to buy back. We were bought back for God. And so, the firstborn is about redemption. The firstborn is about blessing. The firstborn is about life. And isn't it interesting that when God sowed Jesus, that He did it before He had the harvest? Romans 5 verse 8 says, "But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So He gave before He had a harvest. He gave the firstborn before He had a harvest. He gave by faith. I mean, that just took guts to give His Son like that. But He believed in the harvest. He believed in what He had set in motion with seed time and harvest. He believed in those laws and believed in those principles. So, He gave in faith. And I'll say this. This is really good. He had a vision. He had a vision when He gave. He saw something in His heart. He saw sons and daughters. He saw a family. And so I love that. He just didn't, you know, just... This was planned. This was purpose. And it was planned before the foundation of the earth. Before He even created man. God had this plan. And so when He gave His firstborn, He saw the potential of that seed. He saw sons and daughters. He saw family. Because that's what the whole thing was about family. And I know people, and I know this sounds really good, that God's only plan for man is that we'll worship Him for all eternity. I don't doubt that we'll do that. I mean, you know, I'm overwhelmed with gratefulness to God today. But that's not what He's just about, is us just worshiping Him for all of eternity. He wants to fellowship with us. He wants to be around us. He wants a family. At His very heart is a family. So He had a vision. Romans 8:29 says this, "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." So if we want to make a choice today to be blessed, in order to be blessed, you have to know this principle. You have to know the principle of first things first. And you have to understand that. If you want, who today wants to be blessed? Who wants God's life? Who wants all the God's? And so you're going to have to know about first things first. The first thing given is never lost. The first thing not given is always lost. Matthew 16, verse 25 says this, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for Me will find it." I mean, the word sometimes is just contrary to how we live and to how people live. And they, you know, it just takes faith and it takes revelation to catch a hold of these things. The Bible talks over and over about the first things belonging to God. And so we give the first part to Him and we trust Him to redeem us. the remainder. Right? He gave Jesus, and he believed that because of that seed, he was going to redeem those that came after. So when we give the first part, we give by faith. We give with a vision. We give with a purpose. But we believe in the redemptive power of God to bless the rest. And it doesn't make sense to your mind, because when I give, I have less. But that's not how God looks at it. When he gives, he has more. And again, it requires faith. That's why we talk about faith. And the Bible says the just live by faith. It's impossible to please him without faith. Faith is believing in something that you don't see with your senses. It's believing something in your heart. Believing something on the inside, even though all your senses may tell you differently. That's what faith is. It's believing in something you don't see. But you can be in faith and you can know things that you don't see. And Christians have a hard time with this because they want to see the harvest first. They want to see the blessing first. They want to touch it. And I understand that. That's just the way it is. I want to touch it. I want to feel it. I want to experience it. But that's not going to happen until you do first things first. And this is God's way. And this is God's plan. And a lot in the church today, they still, even people here today that have heard these messages, they still don't get it because they still want the blessing before doing first things. When you put God first in your finances, you are trusting him to take care of the rest of the things in your life. The first portion is the redemptive portion. The firstborn belongs to God. Well, so do the first fruits. Exodus 23, verse 19. We'll just read it. The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. He desires the first portion, not the fifth, not the ninth, not the seventh. Proverbs 3, verse 9 says this, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now their farmers back in that generation, they talk about first fruits. I don't know if we have any farmers here today. Maybe a few. Maybe not any. And so first fruits, we don't really understand. But we can understand the first part. You can understand the first portion. You have if you're a farmer, you have a harvest come in. You're going to give the first fruits to God. Well, whatever we do, whatever our jobs are, whatever income we have coming in, we give the first part or the first portion to God. But it says here, now, and again, I may not understand all of these saying here. Well, I can. I mean, it's pretty obvious. Your barns will be filled with plenty. Now, let me ask you, is that a blessing? Does that sound good to you? Now, you may not have a barn, but whatever your barn is, I mean, wouldn't it be good if it's filled with plenty? Now, I don't know anybody here that has a vat. Any vat holders here, vat owners? If you have a vat, I need to come see what you're doing with that vat. But anyway, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Don't you like the sound of that? My vat is overflowing with new wine. Isn't that a good thing? See, you got to see God's heart. He wants the blessings flowing. He wants the blessings flowing in his kid's life. He doesn't want to see you scraping by and getting by and just barely making it and struggling from week to week and month to month and year to year. That's not his plan. That's not his will. That's not what he desires for you. He wants you blessed. He wants a continual flow of blessings to come into your life. And if he has to, he'll do it by supernatural means. He'll do miracles. And a paycheck, you know, today, I guess, is a miracle. You could consider it a miracle. But he wants to do things in your life, just things that you can't figure out in your mind. You can, you know, figure out a paycheck. Well, I work so many hours. But he just wants a continual flow of his life. Isn't he a supernatural God? Don't we read about supernatural things in the Bible? Doesn't he enjoy doing miracles? Well, is he the same God today as he was 6,000 years ago? Is he the same God that he was back in the book of Acts? Is he the same God when Jesus was walking the earth? Or is he a different God and suddenly he's not interested in blessing us? Now he wants to curse us. My Bible, you know, it says that Jesus went about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed by the devil. Then it says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes. It's the same God that's going to bless us while we're here and the next generation. But not only that, his Bible says he'll show his kindness to us for all of eternity. But the biggest deal he has is his kids just don't believe it. We don't believe that he's that good. We don't believe that he wants to do these things. Well, how do I know that? Because we don't expect these things. And I understand why we don't expect. I mean, we have Mark 4. All the different reasons and this economy and this world that we live in and all the negative things and just life itself and the enemy trying to steal, kill, and destroy. All these things happening. And what happens? It weakens our faith. It weakens what we hear. It weakens what we believe. And we may be giving. We may be bringing tithes and offerings. We may be a blessing. But we don't have any expectation. Where has the expectation? If there's no expectation, then there's no faith. And if we're not giving in faith, then how are we giving? It says that it's impossible to please him without faith. Is it impossible? Can you just do things by habit and it has no meaning anymore? Can you get your wife a card on, you know, Mother's Day or your anniversary and kind of just going through the motions and it doesn't really have any meaning anymore? We get in the habit of doing things. And I know many here, I mean, you get in the habit of just putting something in the bucket. But see, offering time should be an exciting time of the service. But I bet it gets to the point now where you don't even, you know, and I feel it when we do our offerings, we usually have scriptures. You can feel it from people. They're tired of hearing it. And then there's, preachers, they're just talking about money all the time. And I know there are people that motives are wrong. And it's, you know, it's a great strategy of the devil because then nobody talks about it. But then why do we have 500 scriptures or so on faith, 500 scriptures on prayer, but then we've got 2,000 on provision? Why do we have 16 of the 38 parables are on finances and managing our resources? That's 40-something percent of the parables of the things that Jesus felt he needed to teach people. But yeah, we can't talk about it in church. Just trying to get your money. And again, I know it's been abused, but I can't have that mentality because I want you blessed. So I got to be bold, and even if you sit there with your arms folded, and you sit there and you're mad, and all the reasons, I mean, I'm sorry about that, but I got to preach it. Because I want life for you. I want God's blessings for you. We got to get our house in order. This is much bigger than you and me. We're talking about the kingdom. We're talking about the plan of God. And we got to get this right, because finances is a tool to preach the gospel. It's not the end in itself, but there's a purpose behind it. and it has to do with people being saved. And it has to do with disciples being raised up. And you know, there's things here at Good News Church we were not doing because the money's not there. Well, is it because God can't supply the need? Is it because the people aren't here? I don't believe that. I believe there's people coming. But it should be able to pay for itself. And so, you know, I'm talking to all of us today. We got to get things right. We got to get our house in order. I desire for the vision, the mission to come to pass in a greater way. This is our year of God pouring out blessings in astonishing ways. This is not an ordinary, just another kind of year. So we talked about the firstborn. We talked about the first fruit. Now let's move over into the tithe. Malachi chapter 3. And I saw something here in studying this. I hadn't seen before quite like this. Malachi chapter 3 verse 8. Y'all are real excited today, aren't you? Woo! Great to be in church. Are we excited? Excited about the word? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings? You are cursed with a curse. Now again, it's being without God's life. That's what he's saying there. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing. Everybody say blessing.
Blessing.
Pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Do you see God's heart? Well, you know, and a lot of people have been focused on the part about robbing God. Well, we're robbing God. Well, I mean, we're robbing God of money that, you know, that he needs in heaven. What are we robbing? He doesn't have enough money to operate heaven. They're going through a recession in heaven. Having to cut back. Angels are wearing hand-me-downs. And they had to hawk some of the pearly gates to pay their mortgage. So we're robbing God for money he needs. What are we really robbing from God? And this is what I saw when I just dropped it in my heart. And Susie added to it. Hers was really better. What are we robbing God of? We're robbing God of the right to bless us. You're robbing blessings from God. So I don't want to rob God any longer. But then Susie added this. We were talking about this. She added this. We're robbing God of souls. Because of the churches. Now, again, the churches need to get their act right. You know, stewardship and generosity and all that. Because there's a lot of ministries that gets to be about a person. But if we rob God in tithes and offerings, we're robbing his kingdom of the resources it needs to fulfill the Great Commission. So this is important. I don't want to shut the windows of heaven. I don't want to deprive God of his heart's desire to bless me and others. And I don't want to rob the kingdom, the world, of people coming to Jesus and disciples being raised up. Pouring out a blessing we don't have room enough to contain. It's that floodgates. It's the, you know, we've had floods, different parts of the, you know, you saw it up in the Northeast, all that's happened there. It's just like God turning the floodgates open wide and His blessings just... And we need to have that image of that's what above our lives, above our families, above this church and people we partner with, to have that image and to see that and to expect that. But let me ask you now, when you bring your tithes and offerings, is that what you see? Is that what you see? What kind of vision do you have when you give? Have we lost the vision? Are we giving on purpose? Do you have something that, you know, you're giving towards, something you're expecting? Are you seeing lives changed when you give? Are you seeing your family changed? Are you seeing the vision that God's giving you coming to pass? Or is it just, without a vision, the people perish. Without a vision, their finances perish. I think we're just kind of chunking. I think we're kind of writing out the checks, which is good. I mean, I'd rather have you just do that, but I think you kind of just get in the habit. When it's to be so much more, is we're giving the first part. And we're giving it to God on purpose, and then we're expecting His redemptive, His blessing on the remainder. And so you can walk around today, and you may be faced with just financial ruin here today. But I want you to know, if you are a tither and you are a seed sower, even in the midst of the storm, you can say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And my God is moving heaven and earth right now for me. His angels are sent to minister to those that are heirs of salvation. I'm not going to have me a pity party today. I'm not going to wring my hands, you know, and just worry. I'm going to take a shower. I'm going to get dressed. I'm going to go to work. And I'm going to have a spring in my step because I am blessed. Do you see the difference there? Waking up with expectation or just waking up for just more bad things going to happen to me today? What's going to happen today? But when we're in faith, there's an expectancy for miracles and signs and wonders. And again, not just about me, but also God working through me. There's a blessing on me. And the blessing, it's not all about me. We're blessed to be a blessing. And that why, when even sometime Nate was just sharing today, they gave beyond their ability because they believed in this. They believe in being a blessing when they needed the blessing, but they believe in this. Let me ask you, with that kind of heart, do you think God's going to take care of them? We give by faith. We give with expectancy. We give with a vision. Now, this is what I've observed, and I haven't done a scientific study on this, but I'm talking about 17 years of ministry, celebrated 30 years of being a believer this year. This is what I've seen. Tithers. Again, life's not perfect. I'm not saying they don't have problems and situations that they have to deal with, but tithers are consistently blessed. Non-tithers continually have financial drama. You know what I mean by financial drama? I mean year after year, drama. And they never really put them together. They just think it has to do with the economy, or I have some bad luck, or this or this or here. And, you know, just drama. And even when they get ahead, then it's gone. Drama. The first thing's principle is both biblical and eternal. Look over in Genesis chapter 4. And I could really, you know, say this, going back to even the garden. What did God say? He said, this tree here is mine. Don't eat from it. First things first. And what did they do? First things first. Genesis 4 verse 3 says this, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit. Process of time. That's interesting, isn't it? Brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and their fat. And the Lord respected Abel in his offering, but he did not respect Cain in his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. You thinking about Tory? Countenance? Okay. Abel brought his in the process of time. What did he gave a part to God. He, you know, it was a good thing. But God didn't respect it. It was the fifth, it was the ninth, it was the third portion. It wasn't the firstborn, first part. Respected Abel's, it was the firstborn. God is looking at our hearts when we give. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, one of my favorite verses. Let each one give as he has made up his own mind and his purpose in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. For God loves, and that's the problem we've had in the church, not reluctantly or sorrowfully under compulsion. How many compulsion messages have we had? How many $1,000 vows, and if you give in the next 2 minutes, blah, 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 blah. It's the mind of men. Not reluctantly or sorrowfully under compulsion. Don't give under compulsion. Don't give today under compulsion. Don't give it today to please me or anybody else. Don't give today to look good. Don't give under compulsion. Don't give into sob stories, the Message Bible says, or arm twisting. Don't give that way. For God loves, He takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. And go back to read all of Malachi, and you read in the first couple chapters, it talks about their offerings being sick and lame. They gave, but it wasn't from the heart. He's looking at the heart. Now, if I, and it'd be better if I had actually had the illustration here, the actual. Let's say I had $10 bills here, $10. What would the tithe, what would 10% be of those $10? Eddie, you're a rocket scientist. $1. Very good. Now, which of those, so let's just say I had them laid out here, Eddie, the 10. Which one is the actual dollar that you tithe?
The first one.
Which is the first one? I'm just playing. I'm playing with you here. It doesn't matter which one is the first one. It's the one you take and give. Because you're like, well, you know, which of the 10? No, it's the one that you actually give. And give it first. You're right. Give the first one. The tithe is the first check you ought to write before you pay your bills. You ought to write the first one. The first portion is the redemptive part. Look at this in Romans chapter 11. Verse 16, New Living Translation says this. And since Abraham and the other patriarchs were holy, their descendants will also be holy. Just as the entire batch of dough is holy because the portion given as an offering is holy. For if the roots of the tree are holy, the branches will be too. The gift affects the rest. The tithe is the catalyst for the blessing of the other 90%. The first part carries the blessing. The first part redeems. But I want to say this to you today, and I think many of us have kind of gotten, and I look at myself different times, have just gotten off track. Sometimes you lose your vision. What am I giving towards? What's the vision that God's given me? And, you know, and I think we ought to see souls. I think we ought to see disciples being raised up. I think we ought to see our families blessed. I mean, begin to get that image on the inside. And so then when you're giving, I mean, there is an expectancy. There is an expectancy. And I think for many of us, we've stopped our expecting because it's just because of life. So we need to go back to the Word and begin to give, begin to tithe, begin to bring our offerings and to bring them in faith. And there ought to be, when we have offering time, there ought to be an expectancy here or wherever it is. And then we need to have a vision of what God wants to do. And again, it's not about me. I'm not saying we don't talk that way. We're not, you know, into how many cars you have and what kind of house you have and what kind of dress, you know, and judge you by those things. I'm just talking about God wants you blessed to be a blessing so the things that He's put on your heart, you can do. And that's why we say, again, this is the Bible word, blessed to be a blessing. I want you to have clothes. I mean, thank God y'all have clothes today. No naked people here today. Hallelujah. I want you to have transportation, roof over your head, and food on your table. And I stand here today, and I mean this sincerely from my heart. I want you blessed. I want you increasing. I want you moving forward. But how much more does your Heavenly Father want that for you? Let's not rob Him of what He wants to do. So I know we have many here, people here today that are tithers. I just want to encourage you. I just want you to get back into the first things first and do some things on purpose. Now there's some here, people today, they're not tithing. I mean, you don't do anything today if you don't, but go and study this out. Prove me wrong. You know, and then if you want to, I'll let you talk to some tithers within this congregation, because even this year, we've had some people going through some things that are tithers, and I've seen God do blessing after blessing after blessing. I was concerned how they were going to make it, but God took care of them. And I'll get you those testimonies if you're on the fence here. But we got to get it right. We got to get the first things first. We got to get, you know, His part to Him. Don't make Him ninth or, you know, third or even second. Make Him first. And you see how this can become, you know, even beyond money, how this can become a, you know, your relationship with Him and your heart towards Him. All right. I got to all that to tell you this. Today's the foundation. I had a lot for you today. But we were, during that first offering, I just heard these words on the inside of me. You know how when God speaks and says things to you? And you know, you're tempted just to get up there and just say it. But He said, no, I want you to leave it for the end of the service. So we're at that point here at the end of the service. What did He say? He said this. It's a new day. It's a new day. It's a new day. It's a new day for Good News Church. And it's a new day for the people of Good News Church. It's a new day. All things passed away. All things become new. Amen. And for those that have been struggling, it's definitely a good word. But even for those that have been had it good, it's going to get better. Amen. And this new day is just not about me and you. This new day is about the kingdom. This new day is about harvest. This new day is about people being saved. This new day is about disciples being raised up, not only in Augusta, but it's going to the world. It's a new day. Well, let's get it right, guys. First things first. Let's get our house in order. Let's pray about these things. Let's go to the Word. Let's be in faith. And let's come together, whether it's house to house or in the big meetings, and let's just have an expectancy. I tell you, when you have that kind of expectancy, God shows up and just shows Himself. And does what He does best, and that's blessing. He gives life. He brings hope. He brings mercy. He brings grace. He brings healing. He brings restoration. Anybody can use a little restoration today. This is a time when you go, woo! It's that time of the service. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's a new day. Turn to your other neighbor and say,
it's a new day.
Now say it to yourself, it's a new day. It's a new day. It's a new day. It's a new day. Nate, you need to write a song. It's a new day. Better than that, it's a new day. Hey, everybody, it's a new day. That's why I do what I do, and I don't do other things. But I'm a little bit drunk right now. So I can sing my, you sing your song and I'll sing mine, okay? Sing it however you want to sing it. But we just have that expectancy right now. We don't have to say, well, when you wake up tomorrow, we can say right now, it's a new day. Old things passed away. Behold, all is new. And let's just expect the blessings of God. Let's just expect the windows of heaven. What He said He would do, that it would be open and pour out blessings, room enough. Everybody say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Say it with conviction. I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I said, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
To be a blessing.
To be a blessing.
Everywhere I go.
Everywhere I go.
I'm a blessing.
I'm